Today is Sexagesima Sunday. Today we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Throats will be blessed after Mass today for those who did not receive the blessing last Tuesday on the commemoration of St. Blaise. Please come to the communion rail immediately after Mass. If you did not receive a purification candle last Monday for the Feast of the Purification, they are available in the vestibule after Mass. The feast for this week, today, is St. John of Matha. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Cyril of Alexandria. I'll just say this. 5th century saint. All the things that we believe, the Mass, all of that is completely codified, obviously, at that point. So we have historical records of him talking about the sacrifice of the Mass. There is a commemoration also on February 9th for St. Apollonia, if we can promote devotion to her. She was a martyr of the early church, a middle-aged lady, virgin though. Part of her punishment, persecution, was to knock out her teeth. And so she is the patroness of people who have problems with their teeth. And we can tell you that we rely on her for help. We all do in the community. So pray to her. Saint Scholastica, the twin sister of Saint Benedict, and we know the story. Once a year, he would meet with his sister. She had the nuns, and she knew what was happening. She knew she was going to heaven shortly, and she wanted to extend the visit and talk to him and about heaven. And he said, no, I have to leave. And so she paused for a moment and prayed, and a storm came and stopped him from leaving. And he said, shame on you, sister. And she said, I asked you for help, and you wouldn't do it, and I asked God, and he did it. Wednesday is the feast of the apparition of Our Lady of Lourdes. Thursday, the seven holy founders. And Saturday is the feast of St. Valentine, commemoration. So just again, benediction today is 6 o'clock. The blessing of articles after Mass. The blessing of throats in honor of St. Blaise for those who have not had it. And the purification candles are available in the vestibule. And so we're taking out the catechism for a moment just to remind everybody of the importance of what you're doing if you have not had these sacramentals, receive them yet. And first of all, every time you come up to get something blessed, you're getting a sacramental. So remember that. That's important. So let's just recall this for the people who are receiving these today. First, what are sacramentals? They are holy things or actions which the Church makes use to obtain for us from God through her intercession spiritual and temporal favors. How do the sacramentals obtain favors from God? That through the prayers of the Church offered for those who make use of them and through the devotion they inspire. And here's a very important point. What are the chief benefits? So why am I coming to receive a blessing of the throat? Why am I receiving the blessed candle? Why am I having things blessed? These are the chief benefits obtained by the use of sacramentals. First, actual graces. Second, the forgiveness of venial sins. Now that one we know pretty easily because every time we take holy water, which is a sacramental, it washes away all our venial sins. Third, the remission of temporal punishment. We can lessen our time in purgatory just by using the sacramentals. Fourth, health of body and material blessings, because it is protecting you against the devil. So that the blessing of the throat is, oh, I didn't bring the prayer, but we heard it last week, and Father told us, how it is the blessing of the throat and any bodily problems. And finally, fifth, the protection from evil spirits. So like the St. Benedict medal, taking the blessed palm, taking the blessed candle, anything as a sacramental. And again, the other thing to remember is sacramentals sound just like sacraments, the word, and that's because they're very similar. If you remember, what is a sacrament? It's an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Sacramentals like that because it also is an outward sign. It's the same and different because it's instituted by Christ, but not directly, but through his church. And it gives grace, but, and the difference though is not automatically. Sacraments automatically give the grace. So now, and here's the point here. So why or how do I get the grace? The grace is there because it's a blessed item. There are several factors going into it. One is the holiness of the church at large. The holiness of the minister that is giving the sacramental. And here's the part that applies to you, your own devotion. So you have a big role to play in this. So when you're, if you're receiving those sacramentals today, make sure you come up with all these sentiments in mind. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. It's a good thing just to remember about St. Paul. Many of the epistles that we have from him, if not all of them, were dictated. This is something to remember. He would speak the words, and there were scribes that were with him, and they would write it down for him. We know this because sometimes he'll end an epistle and say, he had trouble with his eyes. He was not really a healthy man. He had trouble with his eyes. Was it before his conversion? We don't know. But at his conversion, if you remember, he was blinded. And then when he was baptized, some kind of a film fell from his eyes so that he could see again. But his eyesight was never great. And so he ends at least one of his epistles, if not more, by saying, look, you know how hard it is for me to do this, but I am writing my own name here at the end to make sure you know this is my epistle. That implies to us that he didn't write everything. He would speak it. He was inspired to say the words. And what is the point we're making here? When we hear this, and unfortunately we have to read it, we're not inspired to be able to just say it as St. Paul. But if you can think of it, this is a person with soul. And so he is speaking from the heart. He is saying something to these people. He's saying something to us. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourselves. We cannot go by a verse-by-verse commentary. But just to tell you in this opening line, in the city of Corinth, he was being attacked by these false apostles. And some of these people were being fooled. And some of them thought they were pretty smart. So St. Paul is going to use all kinds of techniques to try and win them over. So the first thing he's telling them is, you put up with fools because you yourselves are wise. You're real wise guys. You know the difference. So put up with me, he says, because I'm going to be a fool right now. For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame, as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are they Hebrews, the false apostles? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren. We know that because he and St. Peter were betrayed by one of their own. In labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Many of these things are attested in the Acts of the Apostles, but some of these things we don't know about except he told us. Besides these outer things, there is in my daily pressing anxiety the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save in my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, and lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up. There was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. At that time, when a great crowd was gathering together and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon the good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit a hundredfold. As he said these things, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way, are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon the good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are in the middle now of the season of Septuagesima, which we sometimes ourselves like to refer to as the season of our apostle of the Gentiles, St. Paul. We say that because all the epistles during this season are all from his epistles, and he is a dominant, if not the singular image that we have by Holy Mother of the Church. The collect of the Mass is to him. It's to God through him, asking that through his intercession we be protected against adversity, knowing, distrusting ourselves, the great lesson of St. Paul. The Mass is at Stational Church today is at St. Paul's. You know, of course, that that is not his original name. His name was Saul. He was a proud descendant of the first king of Israel named Saul, the tribe of Benjamin. He was proud of that. And he got knocked off his horse and was converted immediately. And he did away with the name Saul, and he became Paul, which means the little man. He learned humility. He refers in this epistle, and we wanted to have you hear this. He says, in another place, he says, I know I'm not pleasing to look at. Now, this is from an apocryphal work called the Acts of St. Thecla. St. Thecla is a St. Virgin martyr who worked with St. Paul, but the work is not part of the Holy Scriptures, but it may be carrying on traditions from the day. And this is what it says about him, this man who was waiting to meet him as he came into one of the missionary cities. I don't know if it was Ephesus. Oh, the man's name is Onesiphorus. And he was waiting at the city of Iconium. And he says, and I saw Paul coming, and in his stature he was a man of middling size, and his hair was scanty. He was going bald. And his legs were a little crooked, and his knees were projecting, or they were far apart. Maybe he was bow-legged. And he had large eyes, and his eyebrows met, and his nose was somewhat long, and let God work through him. So this season is a time for us to do that. And how do we do it? Because as we heard last week, in the first week, it is the realization of original sin and what it has done to us, all the consequences. Everything was beautiful in paradise. What did St. Paul see in paradise? He said, I can't even get the words to say it. But it was beautiful in paradise. Adam and Eve had it made. We were going to inherit all that. And they ruined it. And last week was all about that. And all about all the pain and suffering we have to go through. So if somebody asks you, as happened a few weeks ago in the Philippines, if a little child, a 12-year-old girl, asks a famous world religious leader, why do children have to suffer? You will know the answer. Every single person here will know the answer. No matter how small you are, you will know the answer why we suffer, even the innocent, even the child being born who is born with some kind of disease or something wrong. The reason is because of sin, original sin. Everyone here, if you don't walk out with anything else, you know why we suffer and why there's pain in the world, why there are wars, why there are people starving and everything else. It is because of sin. Someone needs to pass through the season of Septuagesima to learn before they go around the world acting as some kind of religious leader. So we know sin is what we're aware of. And the result of that is we're supposed to examine our conscience. See how sin has affected us. What is it doing to keep us from being close to God? That's the examination of conscience. This week, we now look at how many kinds of sin? There are two kinds of sin. Besides original sin, there is actual sin. Sins we ourselves commit. This week is talking about that now. We don't see it in the gospel text, but the divine office tells us all about Noah and the flood. Because God looked out and saw, man who I have created is gone, he is evil. I repent of him. I will wipe him out. But Noah and his family are holy. I will save them. I will start over. But because of actual sin, the flood came. So this week, we are to add to our examination of conscience, not just the consequences of original sin, but we ourselves, what we do to ourselves, what we do to others. So you can take an examination of conscience and think about that. Next week, we'll save that for next week, but we will be given by St. Paul the direction, how do we proceed now, just before we start Lent? But now we're talking about this. I do want to make a slight interruption here, of course, because there's somewhat of a theme here because of St. Paul again and these sacramentals. The great enemy we have, because sin came, this is a surprise too, sin is so evil that Adam and Eve didn't invent this. They were tempted to it by a superior being, an angel, a bad angel. So sin has its origin in the preternatural, from the angelic order. So when we see some of the really diabolical things done to other people, we talk about tortures and things, you have to wonder, how did they even come up with that? How did they invent some of these tortures? Well, that's diabolical, just like sin itself. But in that theme of just on the devil, everybody, please take the word seriously. The devil is out there, and he is trying, maybe you're more aware of it, but we want to point this out. Because certain, this has probably happened to the older people, I don't know if young people have had this yet, it'll happen. We can think of it's a handful of times in a life where something happens and it just shakes you up. Things that you counted on, that you thought this was black and white solid, and all of a sudden, it's not. You probably have your own, we have ours. So at this point in our lives, when someone asks us, well, do you believe that? Do you believe that happened? Do you believe this person? Go on with the question. All I say, and I have said it, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's what I believe in. And we had a minor one of those this week, not really surprising in a way, but we just point it out to you, because it's a mark of our time, and it's a mark of the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. We have a person who gets up every day, pretty much 5 days a week anyway, and he is one of the leading, if not the leading, person who we rely on to give us what is newsworthy for the day. We're not going to talk about all of that, how that's controlled. And now it comes out that he's a liar. He is a liar. So how can anyone listen to him anymore, to anything he says? And as commentators talk about it, oh, well, here are all the politicians that lie, but that's okay because that's expected. But here is somebody that is supposedly we're relying on to tell us the truth. Oh, we don't rely on politicians to tell us the truth? We've already given that up. But, and this person is still going. We don't know what's going to happen eventually here. He's still going. He's still speaking. How can you believe anything he says? And again, with the media, we warn everybody, usually at Christmas time and now Easter, because it starts happening, all the educational channels start putting out the real story of Jesus, the real Mother of God. Well, they don't say Mother of God, that's right. Yeah, the real story of Mary. You know, okay. Everybody, do not watch those things. They are from the devil to confuse, bewilder, and shake your faith. Don't even bother. If you have had the misfortune to hear or see something like that, ask parents, ask priests, get the right answer. Do not harbor that. That's the devil working on us. Okay, end of that. In the little time here, we have to just sum up. The gospel, which is our Lord, and we know right here from this, our Lord himself takes on the role as a scripture scholar. Now, we know he demonstrated this even as a boy, because they were surprised when he was 12 at the things he was saying and the questions he was asking. So here we see him in action. He gives the parable, and then the apostles ask him, what does this mean? And he gives us the meaning. So we know that there are meanings behind all of the words of the scripture. And we literal and all that, you know, that's, you've heard that before. So what's he saying here? And this always strikes us, unfortunately, because our Lord is saying, you know, here, okay, we can't go through the full analysis here. From our viewpoint, see, we have to consider things too. Because, yes, when our Lord says, he the sower went out and sowed the seed, the word of God, and then people, and he tells how the people respond. See, yes, we're going to tell you that in a second, but just so you know, right now, the seed is the same. God's word is the same. But our Lord, in almost like a sacramental, and we can make a big comparison with that, between that and the liturgy, which we will not do. But now our Lord is giving you his word, but it's coming through a human agent. Yes, you know, an ambassador of Christ, another Christus, alter Christus, everything, okay. But it's still, so here's the job here, to make sure the person doesn't get in the way, that the message, the sower is sowing as our Lord did. That's our problem. Your problem is you have to hear the word and not fall into those categories. Not fall into the category of letting the devil come in and just pluck it away from you. Not being one that everything is superficial. Nothing is serious to me. I can laugh it all off. Don't be that group. Don't be the group that, yes, I love this word, but I've got to worry about my job. I got to worry about my car. I got to worry about my house. And pretty soon all of that's going to choke that crop. And it'll be just as lost. And we unfortunately have, and we think as we come to the Mass, of all the people who have fallen by the wayside, who in time of temptation, people who walked with us, and in time of temptation, they hadn't learned from Septuagesima, as the prayer colic says, distrust self. So in time of temptation, although they were with us, they walked with us, we pray for them to come back. They were not aware of this distrust of self, the humility. So in time of testing, what did they do? They turned to themselves. They did not turn to God. And they fell by the side. And then, finally, those who are of a good and generous heart, they have heard and the seed has grown. And in another account of the same parable, it tells 100-fold, yes, but 30 and 60. Sometimes it was multiplied 30 times, 60 times, and 100-fold. So even there, the people that are responding well, respond completely. Don't hesitate in any way to give self to God. Don't be satisfied with the 30-fold, the 60-fold. Go for the 100-fold. So as we proceed through the rest of Septuagesima, we want to remember to examine our conscience, see what sin we have committed, what it has done to us, what it has done to others, what it has done to God. That's somewhat simple. That's what it did. Why did God come and redeem us this way? It says he wanted to show us the greatness of his love and the evil of sin. You want to know, examine conscience, know what sin does? Pray before the crucifix. And then as St. Paul, that realization humbles us so that God can now work. So when we receive Holy Communion, the communion verse, and we can't even talk about that. It's simple. The communion verse is, I will go unto the altar of God. Of course, the priest is saying that, but we all go to the altar of God, all of us. And then we receive from the altar, we receive Holy Communion. That is the strength we're going to hear it in Lent. But that's the strength that's going to carry us through those 40 days as an image of life. It's going to carry us through life and eventually take us to heaven. May God bless you.